Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay. I'm your host. And what an exciting week. Someone said last week that my audio was real low, and I don't know what's caused it to be low because I got it pretty jacked up here. But it does seem low even on the meter here, but I'll fix it in post. If it's too quiet, I'll amp it up, and we'll make it happen. But I'm pumped to be here. Life is good. I didn't do comedy this past weekend because, I was off, and that's why. And this was a scheduled off week. This was the, some people call it Sukkot. Some people call it the Feast of Tabernacles, kind of a biblical holiday that I don't really know how to celebrate. My understanding is that for 7 days, you build a structure outside and you spend time outside in the structure. And I marked it off on my calendar to celebrate this, and then I didn't do it. I did the Feast of Trumpets that led up to this. I don't really know what to do for the Feast of Trumpets, but I have a shofar. We blew the shofar. And then the Day of Atonement, which is a fast day, we did that. The Sukkot, I drop the ball on it every year. This year I planned time off to be able to do it, and I just dropped the ball on it. Part of the reason that I drop the ball on these festivals is because no one around me is doing them. And so it's almost work to do them because nobody around me is doing them. Whereas, you know, Christmas is a holiday that everybody does together. So it feels like a holiday because everybody is together and you're going, oh, Merry Christmas, and you're opening presents and you're all decorated. But if you go, hey, I'd like to do this biblical holiday called Feast of Tabernacles, people go, oh, what are you, some kind of religious fanatic nutbag? What do they call it, practicing legalism? Come on, buddy, we don't have to do that stuff anymore. Do the pagan rituals. Get with it. And so it's hard to do. I'm making excuses, but it is hard to do. So I didn't do it. But that was why I was off. I had marked this time off to do that, and then I didn't do it. But that's fine. Either way, I hung out with my family. I like the rest. I like hanging with my family. I mainly like the rest from travel. I don't think flying is good for me. And I know driving's not good for me. I drove all over the country for years and my back hurt. I think that's why I burp all the time. I think just sitting in the car, I don't know what it would be. I remember the day that I started burping. Me and my wife went to Charleston, South Carolina. And we met up with her dad and his girlfriend. And they came down from Canada. We came from Nashville. And we all met in Charleston and hung out for the weekend. And we ate like maniacs, you know. We went out on Sullivan's Island and we went to Poe's and had a hamburger. We went to, I think it's Shim Creek. We had some fish down on the water. Pretty sure we went to Hyman's. I mean, we went all kinds of places. I gave them a real, tour of places I like to eat back in the day. And we just stuffed ourselves the whole time. And then I had to drive. This was probably 2016, I would think. And my dad had talked me into doing comedy at his high school reunion. And his high school reunion, because the school was closed, and it's been closed for a long time, It's basically a high school reunion for anybody that ever graduated from that high school. So the ages ranged from, I don't know, let's just say 50, which I think is probably too young, but let's say from 50 to 90 at this place. And I was doing comedy in the middle of the day, and I just don't think I was their kind of comedy. There were some people that really enjoyed it, but overall, I just was, not their kind of comic. And some other people said last week, just by the way, that my camera was going in and out of focus. And I don't know what's happening with that either. I don't know what's happening with any of these things. This is all this technology. All I want is the camera to set up and just film. But I can see on the viewfinder of my camera right now that it's like kind of focusing on the Steve Martin face I have back there. And I need it to not do that. I need it to not focus on the Steve Martin face. I'm going to try to zoom in a little bit there. That may help. I don't like that shot as much, but that may help. I think it is helping. So, so me and my wife, we had to leave Charleston early in the morning and drive to Lafayette, Alabama. And I burped the whole way. I mean, we had to get up real early and drive, and I just burped the whole way. My wife slept, but I think she woke up at times to hear it, and she goes, "Gosh, you really burped a lot." And I was like, "Yeah, that was insane, huh?" And then I've been, into that ever since. But I have got some other information from people, and so I've made some adjustments to my diet. One of those, which I hate to say it, one of those was cutting out coffee. This is tea in this mug right now. This is in a Banda Cafe mug. A Banda Cafe is in Banda, Alabama, outside of Lafayette. And it says Southern Cooking with Sass is what it says. But I cut out coffee. I've not had coffee for the last 4 or 5 days, and I've just been drinking caffeinated tea. But I cut up some ginger root and some turmeric root and put in the tea, let it steep for a while. So it's all stomach-soothing things. And I've been doing a lot of different things because this new thing that someone turned me on to, my wife said to me that she listened to the podcast and that she was like, "I don't know how interested people are in what you're planting and what your trees are." And I don't know either. I don't know what people are interested in. This has always been a podcast where I just talk about things. And, the idea with every business is that you're trying to expand. You're always like, "Well, we're trying to reach new people." But I feel like when you just get caught up in this rat, now you don't want to do things that people purposely don't like to lose fans, but when you get caught up in this rat race of we're trying to reach everybody, we're trying to expand, it's just an endless cycle of stress that I don't need in my life. I like doing this podcast. I'm very happy with the numbers. Oh, that was a good swallow. People will hate. I'm very happy with the numbers. I like what's happening with it. So I'm not too worried about it. But anyway, I say that to say, I'm sure people are not as interested in my diet. But so I was doing this anti-inflammatory and the low FODMAP diet. That's what I was working on. I was doing a combination of those two things. And then when I found this other thing, some people emailed me about, I looked at it. I typed it into ChatGPT to add it to my, because I was using ChatGPT. Listen, this is a complete turnaround for me. I'm still not sold on AI, right? I watched Avengers Age of Ultron recently. So I'm not sold on AI, but I do feel like something like ChatGPT is just, the latest, most updated version of Google, depending on how you use it. And that's how I've been using it. I put in these different diets. And then I go, what can I eat? What is okay for me to eat? What's good for me to eat? And what should I stay away from? And there were a few things that were okay on the other two diets that are not okay on this diet that I'm trying to stay away from, that I now need to stay away from. Acidic foods, tomatoes, limes, lemons, pepper, like spicy pepper. So, and I hope this is not forever. This is not my plan to do this forever, but I'm trying to heal my stomach. And I feel much better. In the last 4 or 5 days, I felt so much better from cutting out a lot of these things. Because I love to take cayenne pepper because they say it's good for the heart, good for blood circulation, good for blood flow. So I love to take it. I have little tinctures of cayenne pepper, put it in some water, and I'll do shots of it. And I like it. But I was like, I don't know, maybe that's not helping me. I just never felt like it was really affecting me in that way. But I'm just basically, I've cut out everything. I'm mainly eating meat and certain cooked vegetables. And then I do like peanut butter with rice crackers, and that's what I'm into. I'm losing weight. I feel good. My energy levels are good. I'm not burping like a maniac. I've cut out candy. I will do some 70% and above dark chocolate. And that's good. And that's okay. But I don't do a lot of that. I mean, it's like Zany's Comedy Club here in Nashville. I'll go there. And in the green room, they have just jars full of chocolate. And I just get in there and I turn into some kind of, poor kid who's never seen candy before. I'm like, what is this, Reese cups? And then I'm just in there tearing them up. And I don't understand. I was feeling real bad one more. And I told Hannah, I go, yeah, I ate some candy last night. She goes, what are you, a kid? And it is true. It's hard. But I feel good, and I've been working out a lot, and I like what's happening. All that to say, I don't think flying and driving is good for me. I've said this before, and I don't know if there's anything to this. But my grandfather was born in 1900. They had a car by the time my dad came along in 1947. They had a car. But I think it was, you know, their main car. So if they needed to get, feed for the cows or for the hogs or for the horses, they would take a horse and buggy into town to get these things. So, you know, I'm two generations away from a guy that used to ride a horse and buggy into town, and now I'm flying all over the country every weekend. Sometimes I'm doing up to 5 flights a weekend, you know, like this weekend. I'll be able to drive in between, but like this weekend is a great example, though. I'll have to take 2 flights to get to Wilmington, where I'll be on Friday, and then me and my opener, Drew Harrison, will drive from Wilmington to Richmond the next day, and then the next day I'll fly home. Fortunately, I get a direct from Richmond home, thanks to Southwest. But it's just like, it's so much travel. It's so much up and down and up and down. And then I put this on my special Wet Heat where my ears stop up real bad and I hold my nose and blow out. And somebody messaged me and said, hey, I watched your special and I saw that you've been doing that. And they said that could cause nerve damage or something. I forget exactly what they said. And I was like, oh gosh, that's terrifying. And they said, you know, a couple of ways to not have to do that. One is to chew gum, but I've tried that in the past. I tried chewing gum before I was doing the ear popping method, and it just doesn't work for me. The gum doesn't work. And then they said you could take antihistamines before flying, but that would probably work fine for the flight home. But I don't want to be taking a antihistamine and then flying to I'm coughing now that I quit smoking. Flying, you know, and then having to do a show on Benadryl or whatever. I used to go to this place called LT360, which I liked. I liked them. They would give me these tinctures of things, and they would say they're, like, activated in some way. And they said, you just want to make sure that you don't put them in light. So they wrapped them in aluminum foil. And then they said, if you fly, you can't run them through the x-ray machine. You gotta tell TSA, hey, these can't be ran through the x-ray machine. And I had to quit going to them because I'm just like, this is too much. I fly too much to be going every time going, hey, TSA, these can't fly through. And then I have to wait on TSA every time to look at the things and do stuff to it. And then I can't do it. So I had to stop going. But there's no other way. The only other option is a tour bus. And I just don't think I'm at that place. The kind of touring I like to do, especially, I'm not at that place. I don't think you take a tour bus out for Friday and Saturday and then come home. So all that to say, I don't mind the time off. I got a good balance of things going on that I like. I'm very happy with. Things are great. I did a thing last night that I can't talk about, but it was very fun. I got to meet Brooks and Dunn, and that was exciting. I got to talk to them for a little bit, and they, told me that they said it was really cool about my bit about Hardworking Man. They said they got lots and lots of messages from people about the bit, and they said it was very exciting. And that's what I'm talking about. Listen, it's like Brooks and Dunn is obviously a legendary country band. But I can only speculate this. In our day and age, the way things are rapidly moving all the time, I feel like we have no love for the legends anymore. Like, it felt like when I was growing up, there was like, you know, I was growing up in the 80s and 90s country era. And you had, like, there was still this reverence for Merle Haggard and George Jones and Waylon Jennings and all these guys, to where now I just don't feel like we have any kind of reverence for anything past us now. Like, younger generation, and I could be wrong, I'm just not in that generation, but I just feel like there is no reverence for those, you know, people, you know, like nowadays, no real reverence for 90s country people. So I feel like, you know, that bit was on Netflix, and then it did very well on social media, and that's exciting. So they really liked it. They were very appreciative of it. I got to hang with them a little bit. I thought that was cool. I've made this joke before, but it is true. My first cassette tape when I was a kid, living in the trailer park, was Brand New Man by Brooks and Dunn. I had that cassette tape, and I love that song. And I remember listening to it. That's where this joke comes from, but it had such impact on me. I was like ready to settle down. I was ready to change my lying and cheating ways as an 8-year-old kid. I mean, country music is so powerful like that. Like, you listen to some heartbreak song, and it's like, I don't even have heartbreak, but you, like, want heartbreak, so you feel like you relate to the song more. I love it. You know, there's a John Michael Montgomery song. He says, when I was 14, I was falling fast for a blue-eyed girl in my homeroom class. Trying to find the courage to ask her out was like trying to get oil from a water spout. And then he says, what, and I'm not exactly sure what he says right here, but I think this is what you can say that I can't say, I never did ask, and she moved away. I learned something from my blue-eyed girl, sink or swim, you gotta give it a whirl, right? That's the Life's a Dance song. Life's a dance, you learn as you go. Sometimes it's a great song. But that particular lyric where he said, I never did ask and she moved away. I learned something from my blue-eyed girl. Sink or swim, you got to give it a whirl. It's like, is that the lesson there? Because she moved away. So what happens if you asked her out and she said, yeah, and you guys like hit it off and then she moved away? Is the lesson really I should have did it because she moved away? I just feel like that was a real misstep in the lyrics there. She's gone. She's gone whether you ask her out or not. I think what you should say to yourself is, good thing I didn't ask her out because she'd be moved away. You know, I think that's the lesson. You go, hey, God was looking out for me. He goes, don't worry about that because she's about to move. That's what I think. But country's great. I get a little more immersed in the country music world. I feel like somehow I probably shoot my own self in the foot sometimes by criticizing a lot of the modern day country music stars. But that's just not where I want to be. I don't really want to be, you know, even like, even though it's huge popularity, like, you know, you'll see sometimes, I follow some channels and they'll post these Morgan Wallen tunnel walkouts where he'll walk out of the tunnel and then out in onto the stage and it'll be a big deal. And he usually has some other kind of celeb walking with him. I'm sure some of you guys have seen them. And it is pretty cool, you know, no doubt about it. But, you know, when it's like when the music's not good, you're like, why is this cool? You know, it's cool because everything's been propped up around it to make it cool. And I had this revelation too. It's like, you know, it's not that I hate modern day country. I think this is what I hate, is that everything, they just figured everything out so well. It's like everything is like this. It's not just music, it's sports too. Like they figured out everything now. Like athletes are like, they know exactly the workout regimens. They know exactly the vitamins and supplements and they know everything. So they've just create these phenomenal, like super soldiers of athletes. And then, you know, the games are, you know, everybody is so hard hitting and it's so like everybody's getting hurt all the time. So they're like having to change the rules to soften the game. Not that it's a soft game. Football's very aggressive. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they've softened it from the old school because everybody is so strong and fast that if they don't soften it, everybody's going to get killed out there. And then the same for like music. Like they figured out how to do everything perfect. Like they've figured out exactly how to write the lyrics. They get enough people in the room to write exactly the right lyrics. They figured out the right chords and music to make you feel the emotions. Everything's heavily produced, so it's perfect, and there are no mistakes. And there are no imperfections that sometimes, you know, the imperfections are sometimes what really makes it cool. So it's just like, it's like they've figured out everything to a T to where it's not fun anymore. I just feel like that about even pictures, right? It's like even up until my early 20s, you know, we were still taking pictures with film cameras. I have several photo albums from when I was living in the trailer as an adult that I was taking disposable cameras. I was taking pictures with disposable cameras, and now I have all these physical pictures that, you know, I don't know if you say I cherish them, but I do really like having them because I'm like, that's a real gone phase of my life, but I can look back on pretty vividly and go, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember this time. But it's like the great thing about those pictures is you didn't just take 100 of them and then keep the perfect one. You have the imperfections of the pictures. You have the funny faces. You have the eyes closed pictures. You have the picture taken by the person who just never could seem to center up a photo. There's always 4 feet above your head and about your chin is cut off in the picture for whatever reason. And these pictures are just always around. They don't lose quality. They're just always around. And I just think so much is lost by perfecting everything. The imperfections, like when I was in art school, I used to, you know, my art teacher was kind of like, you know, there are no mistakes. And I don't remember his exact phrasing, but if you draw a line you didn't mean to draw, make it something. You know, it's just, you got to make something out of it. There is no erasing in art. You just got to make it something. And I think that's my problem. My problem is not with Morgan Wallen. I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't know. And I'm sure he's very talented. I'm sure he can really sing. And I don't mean to just single him out, but he's just the most popular. And I feel like he would also be the least hurt by me talking trash. Who cares, right? I'm not going to hurt. And I don't want to hurt his thing about him. I'm just saying, it's like when you get put into the machine, when you're in the money-making machine and they go, all right, this guy is a cash cow. And then he goes, and then if they've been guiding his ship and he goes, all right, you guys have been guiding the ship. Just keep bringing the songs to me. I'll sing them. We'll keep printing money. And who can argue with that? I'm not arguing with success. I mean, this guy's making money hand over fist, but it's just not enjoyable music to me. And so that's why it's like, it feels, and then even some of my grittier, like, country singers that I like, they always seem to be, like, weirdly, like, anti-religious, anti-Christianity. They're really living in this old world. They're, like, living in the 80s where Christianity ruled the country and was this, you know, like the church was an oppressive force holding everybody down, where it's like, that's not the church anymore. That's not what's happening anymore. I'm sure there's, you know, somebody you know that goes to church that's telling you, oh, you can't, you know, you can't wear that, you know. But as a whole, the church has completely lost its power in this country. You know, it's like, I feel like I saw something with JFK one time where it was like, he was like really trying to appeal to the evangelicals because he needed them to get the vote. I don't feel like you ever hear a president really like trying to get the evangelicals I just don't feel like you really hear it much. They may mention it, but it's not that big of a deal because it's not Christianity. These days in this country is not really a binding force that's holding people together for anything. It's very divided. There's so many denominations, and I think that's done purposely, so many denominations that you can't actually come together. We should just be under one banner of Christianity, and we just teach from the Bible. That is what we should do, but we get bogged down by all these other things, which I actually think is what legalism is. Legalism is you're doing what your church tells you to do as opposed to what the Bible tells you to do. I feel like if you're legalistic about the Bible, well, I think that's okay, right? I mean, it's like basically legalism says, you know, a binding set of rules that you must follow. I think that's okay. If you're, you know, as long as, you know, and I think that if we're all like, okay, the rules of the Bible are this, we'll do that, then it's easier to come together and unite. But I just feel like the outlaw country guys, they're always like taking little digs at Christianity where I'm like, oh, I don't know why you keep doing that. Like, what is your problem? They're never taking digs at other religions. You never hear that. It's always Christianity. And I find that interesting. Anytime I see a comic that's like, I hate religion, whatever's going to follow is going to be digs at Christianity. You won't hear a, You won't hear a comic go, oh, I hate religion, and then for the next 30 minutes do a bunch of Muslim jokes. You'll never hear it. So I just don't, you know, and not that I want them to. I'm not saying do that, but you just never hear it. I always want to make that joke to people because I'll see, you know, I used to see it at open mics a lot. And so, but I don't know what got me on that tangent, but I just miss some grittiness of mainstream that I think we've lost. And that's my problem with it. It's not the individual. It's not, because, you know, I'm like, I saw a clip of Joe Nichols on a podcast. I really like Joe Nichols, but I didn't really realize Joe Nichols was a religious guy. I mean, I know he did a song called, I think it's called Revelation. It's great. It's great. Let me see if I can find it real quick, just so I get it right. It's a really great song. I talked about it on John Chris podcast. I don't know. It's not even one of his top songs, but let's see. This is good. This is good radio here. Yeah, Revelation. Great song. And but he was on a podcast, and he was talking about putting out a song, and, it, you know, it's a longer story, but basically had Jesus in the song, and the record company was like, well, we want you to take Jesus out of it. We like the song. We want you to take Jesus out of it, and, you know, if you do that, we think this is going to be a hit. And he was like, well, for my, you know, my, the Christian side of me, he's like, you've really put me in a good place to be a good person here. You've put me in a good place to say, no, I'm going to stand by this so that, you know, because, you know, the Bible says, hey, if you're, I don't know, I can't quote it, but basically, you know, if you're taking heat on this earth for the Lord, then that's blessings in heaven. So he's like, you basically given me a great opportunity here. But then he said, well, they were true to their word and they didn't use the song. They put the song on the shelf because he wouldn't take Jesus out of it. So that was great. All right, so I don't know what my point of that was. I'm losing my train of thought. I didn't take any notes. All right, so I've been watching Marvel movies. You know, I've been going through the whole series. And so let's see. I watched Thor Dark World. I don't know if I talked about it, but I did like it. I didn't really remember much about it, but I did enjoy that. I thought that was a good movie. And then I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, which I've seen, you know, several times, but it's been years since I've seen it. I really forgot how good of a movie that is. That's a really good movie. Now, I think all of these Marvel movies have kind of a sinister darkness to it. Some people have broke it down to where, like, all the heroes, the Avengers, all those guys, they're like the fallen angels. They represent the fallen angels, and Thanos represents, you know, their dark representation of God. So I think there is a darkness to it. But just for the sake of being a movie, really great. Guardians of the Galaxy is unbelievable. And then I watched Age of Ultron, the second Avengers movie. I might have skipped one in here that I watched, but I'm working my way through them. But Age of Ultron was really great too. I don't think I appreciated it the first time around. I maybe didn't really understand what was going on. But this is the only time I've ever rewatched Age of Ultron, and it's really great. I liked it, but in that movie, the Vision character is really trying to play God. There's a scene where there's a bumper sticker in some ship that they have, and it says Jarvis is my co-pilot. And Jarvis, if you're not familiar with it, is like Iron Man's AI, you know, kind of helper that talks to him in his helmet and helps him do things. So, and then Jarvis is my co-pilot is, you know, like a a spoof on the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot, Jesus is my co-pilot sort of thing. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And then as you get later into it, once Jarvis is kind of given a body, the AI goes into this artificial body that they created, and he says, as he comes to life, basically, he says, because they think he's Ultron or whatever, an Ultron creator, and he says, I'm not Ultron. And then he says, and then they go, oh, okay, well, maybe he's Jarvis. He's Jarvis in a body, because he did come from the Jarvis program. He said, I'm not Jarvis. And then he says, I am, which that's a reference to God. I mean, God says to Moses in the desert, I am. He says, Moses says, who should I tell them sent you? And I feel like that's what he says. I should really do some research in the Bible before I read that, but I know that I am is a reference to God. So I thought that was interesting. I was like, ugh, that's a little dark in a way. But as far as the movie goes, it's fantastic. And Thor is basically, they say Thor is a god. And I think Thor is from mythology, like some religions, maybe like the Irish or the Scottish or somebody, actually kind of worshipped Thor as a god. I could be wrong about the countries. Forgive me if there's two or three people that listen to this podcast in those countries. But I think he's like a Norse god. And then he has the hammer that only he can pick up. They even have a scene in there where they have all the Avengers are kind of drinking and partying and all trying to pick up the hammer, which Captain America is able to pick it up a little bit, which is, you know, if you read comic books, you know that what, you know, Captain America was like one of the only guys who could pick it up because you had to be worthy to pick it up. And Captain America is like a good-hearted guy and also very strong. So he moved it a little bit, but nobody else could even move it. And, but then when Jarvis comes to life, when Vision comes to life, he is able to easily pick it up. So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I really like those movies, though. I mean, man, just going back and watching them, it really reminds me of what was lost. We really had a great thing with those Marvel movies. It was a really great series, and now they're just bad. They're just bad. But I'm going to keep going through them. I think I'm going to add Black Widow to the list. I never watched that one. I'm going to try to watch that one, get caught up with that. And if there's any others that you really like that you recommended, I watched some of the shows. I am going to do Hawkeye. This is all stuff I'm just doing on a plane. I am going to do Hawkeye, the show, just to get it out of the way. But I watched Loki, and I didn't really like it. I think a lot of the reason that I don't like it is the multiverse is really what started to lose me. I'm so bored by time travel and the multiverse. Some time travel movies are done well. Back to the Future is the best. I love those movies. There was a movie called The Time Machine, I think it was called. I really liked it. It was like a scientist. His wife got killed, and then he wanted to invent a time machine to go back and keep her from dying. But, you know, for whatever, I think he kept going back in time, and no matter what he tried to do, she died every time. So he could not fix it, and he got so frustrated, he ended up going, like, way forward in time to, like, some weird caveman-type place. I don't know. I thought the movie was pretty good. I not watched it in a while. There is some time travel that's done well, and I'm not saying early Marvel multiverse stuff was bad, but it started to get bad, where they just you just can kind of use it for anything. I didn't really like how Endgame was done in the sense that, you know, they lost, but then they were able to go back in time, and Captain Marvel just comes along, and then she's just so powerful, and I don't know. I didn't like it, but I did enjoy the movie, but I could have done without all the time travel. So I'm going to keep going, though. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep reporting. I put out a land video recently. and I thought it was one of the best ones we've had in a long time. We filmed so much stuff, and I told the editor, I go, just make it action-packed. Because we got some episodes, because what I wanted to do, I was working with this company, Kindred Land Management, and what we were trying to do is put together, you know, some sort of series that was beneficial for them and for me, where they could tell real information and be a part of the video, and they would help me a little bit. They would come out. They would show me how to kill some trees and do some, you know, do some work, a little bit of work for me for free in exchange for some content, which I think we did a good job. I didn't put them to work too hard. They didn't work too hard. So I think it was a fair trade-off, but it's taken a while to get the content. But we filmed a lot of stuff of them just giving some information, which I don't always think is the most interesting. But so we did a little something. We did a real action-packed one. And now what we're going to try to do next is one with more information, but we're going to try to juice it up a bit to where they're giving info, but it's spicing it up. Some people criticized me a little bit in the comments where they said, I'm surprised that you're letting them spray chemicals. But the whole point is that, you know, when sometimes chemicals are necessary, like with these tree of heaven, as they call it, they have this roots. They're an invasive species that has no natural predator, and they grow up so big, and they shade out trees. Oak trees need a lot of sun, so you'll have new oaks trying to grow in the woods, but then the tree of heaven will grow up, and it will just completely shade out an area, choking out the tree of heaven. And then if you just cut it down, it has a root system that is a defense mechanism that just shoots up other growth. The moment it's like, oh, we're in danger, let's shoot out other trees to try to keep itself alive. So what they told me, what you have to do, and they call it hack and squirt is what they call it, and you have to hack into the tree a little bit and then spray this pesticide into the tree, and then the tree will soak it up, and then it kills it. I got some video. And you can see in the video that it did kill those trees. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get rid of, and somebody said, I love mimosa trees. Mimosa trees are beautiful. They're a really pretty tree. But if you're driving through Tennessee, I mean, you'll see them all over the place. They just take over. And we have natural species in Tennessee, in America, that want the native trees. They want the native plants. And so these trees get in there and they choke out our native plants, ruining our native species. So we want to get rid of all that. So that's the whole plan, but it is a lot of work. And I think they do a fair price. I don't think they're more expensive than anyone else, but it can be quite pricey to try to undertake something like this. Because what I wanted to do was kind of turn the whole field into native species, but that's actually quite a process. But we may do something like that. We may get some filming going, but I just got too many things going on at my house now, but I'm excited about what I got going on. So we are going to try to Airbnb the cabin, and I'm working on a couple of things, but I think we are going to try that. I don't know how many renters will get out in McMinnville, but we don't want to lose the ability to go out to McMinnville and stay, because I like going out there. I like the town. I like the land. I enjoy it, but it would be nice not only just to make the money. It's not necessarily about the money. It's like things not just sitting up. I just don't want the house to just sit up. But if I full-on rent it out, then we'll never be able to go out there. So we're going to try to do a few things, see what we can make happen. But the video is very good. If you've not watched it, I'd go check it out. I think it's a fun video, and we got some others on the way. But I love that. I love that project of that. Other comments that I've gotten. Nate Land came out today. This is Wednesday. I'm recording this. It'll come out on Thursday. But a couple people said I'm very sensitive. They go, oh, this guy, he's so sensitive. And I won't deny it. I have never been, I don't think I'm sensitive in a lot of ways, but I never been pardon the expression, I don't know another way to say it, but a bust your balls kind of guy. I'm never really into that. If it's my close friends, we'll joke around with each other. But I've never been a real bust your balls guy. I'm not into that sort of stuff. So I don't do it well. And I also don't necessarily handle it well. Like, I do it, I try to do it, and people take it too serious. And then I feel like sometimes I handle it well, sometimes I don't. But I was making a point on the podcast, and this is no criticism to the other guys. They're just trying to be funny and make jokes too. But the moment seemed to get awkward. But this is the reason. I was trying to make a broader point. In the Nashville scene, and I wasn't aware of this, I thought there was a best stand-up comic and a best comedian section. My understanding is that one is the critics pick, the people that run the Nashville scene picked a person, and then the other is done by voting. So what happens with the voting, generally speaking, is Nate usually wins number one on the voting. He's the, you know, obviously the most popular comic. Everybody knows Nate. He always wins. And then second and third are people that campaign for it. They'll push for it, or somebody pushes for them to get votes, right? So that's usually what happens. Last year, I think I put out one post to get people to vote for me. Because, you know, I want to, when I live in a city, I want to be in that race. Even though in a sense, best local should probably be reserved for people locally. Like in Charleston, one year they voted Bill Murray best local actor because Bill Murray was living in the city. But Bill Murray is a famous actor. There was probably an actor in Charleston that would have really loved to be voted best local actor. They voted Darius Rucker best local musician because he was living in Charleston and is from Charleston. But there was probably a local musician that would have really loved to win that. So that's what I mean by that. Nate doesn't need to be voted best local comic. I don't need to be voted best local comic. But I like it. I like, you know, everybody likes an achievement, an accomplishment. It looks good to have your name up in the mix. You always want to have your name up in the mix because it's the whole thing about comedy is you got to be funny, first off. That's a big one. But then the other part is that it's a business, right? So you need people to see you and go, oh, this guy's doing this. This guy's in a Cracker Barrel commercial. This guy's at the Opry. This guy's doing the Tonight Show. This guy's on Netflix. You need all that stuff just so people go, this guy's popular. People like this guy. So we got to go see this guy. You need all those things. Now, you want to be funny. I think some people have all those things and are not very funny, and they sell a lot of tickets. But for the most part, if you got those things going for you, you are very funny. And funny is, you're not to everyone's taste, obviously. The guy who made this comment about me said, oh, Dusty's so negative and he's so sensitive. There's no way he won Best Local Comic. I don't know what that means necessarily. I think you can be sensitive and negative and still be funny. And I did win Best Local Comic. So there's like no debating that I won. But so I was going to bring it up on the Nate Lamb podcast. And the main reason I wanted to bring it up is that I wanted to point out that I won the award here and Nate won the award here. So very good for our overall podcast. It's like members of the Nate Lamb podcast are, doing great things. So I brought it up and immediately Aaron jumped in. And Aaron jumped in, and I understand his joke. His joke was to say, well, the media picked you to be best local comic, and you don't believe anything the media says. And then Brian jumped in to say, and I know you're a big fan of the Nashville scene, because I've been critical of the Nashville scene. First off, the magazine is just filled with ads. I know everybody has to survive, and that's what you have to do, but it's just filled with ads. But I have been critical of the Nashville scene in the past. They were very insulting to me way back when I first started my show, a show that I've been running at Zany's for probably close to 10 years at this point. But, you know, I tried to get them to come out and do press for the show. I said, I'll buy you a ticket to the show. I'll buy your food. I'll buy your drinks. Just come and give a review. I wasn't trying to pay for a good review. I was trying to get them to come out and review it. They could be honest about their review, but just come review it. And the guy back then, I don't think it's the same guy, but he goes, oh, another guy running a local show. Way to go. Something like that. And I was like, okay, buddy. So I've been critical of them. So both of their points were valid. Dusty doesn't believe the media. Yes, I don't believe the media. I don't believe the mainstream media. If anybody listening still believes the mainstream media, you gotta check yourself. They give you what's called half-truths. They will tell you some truth, but they'll leave out key details so they can use the truth to deceive you. Don't listen to it. Turn off Fox News. Turn off CNN. Turn off MSNBC. They're all bad. They're all poison to your brain. They're all raising your blood pressure. It's all bad. Turn it all off. They're all shills for somebody else. They always are. Don't listen to it. They're professional liars. It's not worth your time. You'd be better off reading a comic book or the Bible. You know, either distract yourself or dig into the Word of God, because the news is garbage. So yes, both of their points were valid, but I was a little thrown because I didn't expect them to jump in so fast that it threw me off a little bit, and I didn't really know where to go, because in order for me to make my broader point, there was no place for me to go but to defend myself. And there is this thing now where if you defend yourself or defend your position, I see it all the time online where someone will say something and then people come on to argue the point that they made, and then they go, oh, I really made people mad now. Or they'll go, you mad, bro? Stuff like that, where it's like, well, I'm not mad, but I'm defending my position. You've criticized me and now I'm defending my position. And so anytime people defend themselves now, they're labeled as sensitive. And I get it. Listen, I can take a joke. And I am fine. And I don't, of all the things, the accomplishments I've had, I would not say winning Best Local Comic is high on that list. But Nashville's a big city. It's a hot city. And I am honored to have the critics, the writers of the Nashville scene pick me as best comic. And I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not parading it around out here like I'm the best or anything like that, but I do appreciate it. And I think it's worth mentioning. And, so that's it. If anybody watches that and they go, oh, he's so sensitive, it's fine. I can be sensitive. I won't deny it. But I don't think being sensitive disqualifies you as a comic. I think a lot of comics, a lot of artists are very sensitive because, you know, we're creating artwork. And if you come in, like, have you ever been painting or creating anything and you're halfway through, you're nowhere near complete, and somebody comes in and criticizes what you've done? It's very frustrating because you're like, well, I'm not finished. And now you're taking shots at my unfinished work here. And that's what happens to comics. You know, maybe if we're posting it online, maybe it should be finished. Maybe we shouldn't wait until we shouldn't post it before it's finished. But, you know, that is what happens. We post a video online and then people come on and immediately criticize it. And, you know, you can, it's easy to get sensitive about it. It's also everyone that criticizes me online, for the most part, especially on YouTube, usually does not have an avatar. It's not a picture of themselves and it's not their real name. And I don't want that. There are government officials that are trying to pass digital ID, which I think is very bad, where they want you to actually have your ID to be able to log in online so you can no longer have, you know, like a fake account where, you know, you can comment or you can argue with people online without having your name there. I don't want that to be the reality. I want people, I did that one time. I created a fake account and I would go on and argue with people. And I found out real quick that it is like, that is not worth your time. That is so, it's just like, it's such a waste of time. So I deleted the account. But I want people to be able to do that. And I don't think the government should say, this is what you have to do. It's very bad. It's bad news. Digital ID, very bad. I basically think everything the government does is bad. You know, you can argue semantics if you want, but there might have been some good stuff in the beginning, and so some of those things are put into place and they're good, but it's basically all bad, in my opinion. There's nothing good that they're doing. And then they always want to raise taxes because they got to fund something else when they have too many people working there. And I've noticed, you know, since the government's been shut down in Tennessee, it's just been beautiful blue skies. I don't think there's been a cloud in the sky since the government shut down. It's amazing to see. As Willie Nelson would say, blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. It's just unbelievable. I got a couple of packages that people have sent me. I went to my post office box the other day and there were a bunch of packages. So I already opened them, but I'm just going to try to open a few of them here on the podcast and give some people some shout outs just to say thank you. I've been meaning to do this for a long time, but I got so far behind with it that I thought, well, if I start now, there'll be so many people that I never thanked. But then if I don't start now, I'll never stop. I'll never start. So here we go. I'm going to grab them. And if you want to send something, don't feel obligated to send me anything, ever. But if you want to send something, my P.O. Box, it's P.O. Box 8146, Hermitage, Tennessee, 37076. So the first one is coming from Ashby Frank. This is a CD, which I will listen to. And then a hat that says Yacht Grass. Which that's making me hope this is some yacht rock music here. I mean, I'm into yacht rock. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let's see. Oh, this is coming from Jared Fleming. Jared Fleming, beautiful picture and a note. I'm not going to read the note on the podcast. I don't know if they want me to do that. But it's some leather things. I'm assuming these are coasters. Thank you, Jared. And a leather belt. I love a belt. I've gotten a couple of belts lately. I'm not able to untie this right now. It's probably easier than I'm making it. There it is. Okay. But a nice leather belt here. Cool design on there. Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that. I will wear this belt. It smells like leather. I love the smell of leather. Okay. This is coming from Cheryl. Lives in the area. And I appreciate this. Note here, again, I'm not going to read it on the podcast, but I have a video out there where I'm being sad about having to get rid of my hand truck. Now, I wish I had the hand truck because where I live now, I got a bit more room and I could use the hand truck. It may be time to go buy another one, But I got a video out there. It's a very good video about me losing my giving my hand truck to Goodwill. And so Cheryl here has sent me a little hand truck. Some people call it a dolly. I don't know if you know if you can see it. I'm trying to, but yeah, it's a little hand truck there. Thank you, Cheryl. That's great. I appreciate that. All right, let's see. This is from Champagne Apothecary. I don't know what that is, but to the Slays. Thank you. This is, this is Tallow, I think. Now, let's see. Well, it's from this company that you can see right there. Some information on the back. Nice, different, what do they call it? Apothecary. It's skincare. And I appreciate it. Thank you. That's very nice. We will get into that. I'm sure Hannah wishes I'd given that to her already. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Oh, this is Tallow. Clara and Fritz Tallow Shop. Out of New Jersey. Okay. There's a note from them. Yeah, and then they just sent lots of little tallow products. This is a facial serum, some chapsticks, lots of different tallows there. Thank you for that, Clara and Fritz Tallow Shop. So if you live in Mullica Hill, New Jersey, reach out to them. Or I'm sure they mail it. So... yeah, so Claire and Fritz. Okay, and the last one here. Oh, this is from the Kickin' Chicken in Charleston. I got to try to get one of these shirts to Theo Vaughn, but me and Theo talked about the Kickin' Chicken when I was on the podcast with him. If you've not watched that, by the way, that's a really great episode of me and Theo talking about. They sent two extra larges, and I'm like a medium. I'm pretty sure I told them that, but nobody listens to me. But a couple of Kickin' Chicken koozies, some cool hats. I'll try to get that out to Theo. A mug there. Yeah, I'll try to get all these things to him. We used to, when I lived in Charleston, I used to host trivia at Kickin' Chicken for a while. That wasn't my main gig, but I would sub for Bill Davis there some. And my friend and comedian, Bill Davis, I would sub for him there some. Feels like something else is in here. Okay. I would sub for Bill some, and that's it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate those things. I saved that. I had already opened it, but I saved it. You know, I wanted to do it for the podcast. But the Kickin' Chicken was great, and I would eat there a lot. I mean, this was back when I was still eating pork, but they had a sandwich called the Kickin' Chicken Sandwich, which was a sub, and it had fried chicken, provolone cheese, and then just bacon crumbles, very good. And then they had a sandwich called the Big Deal, and then the Ultimate Big Deal, which I think was like ham and turkey and chicken and bacon and cheese. Delicious sandwich. I was pretty fat back then, but it was a delicious sandwich. I would go to Kickin' Chicken all the time and just tear it up. The one downtown was really great, and it's gone now. That's very sad. The one I went to the most, though, was probably on James Island, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but I hosted trivia there a couple of times. That was one where I was subbing for someone, and I was hosting, and I used to drink a lot while I hosted trivia, and then I would also have to do math. So sometimes I would mess up the math. Never real bad, but I remember I was hosting trivia there one time, and somebody yelled, "Quit drinking!" And I was like, "What?" I was like, that's the only reason I do this gig, is because I get to drink and make money. If I can't drink, I'm not going to do it. I did keep doing it after I quit drinking, but I wish they would have known. I wish they would have sent me. I wear a medium to a large shirt, so an extra large is not going to do me any good, but I'll try to dry it real hot and see what I can do. But I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I don't know if you've been, you know, if you're into reading your Bibles or not, if you listen to this, but read your Bible. Get yourself an ESV Bible or a King James Version Bible. I bought a Geneva Bible, I think 1560 or something like that. Apparently translated old and new from the Greek Septuagint. I've not started reading that yet. It's huge. I don't know where I'll read it, but get into it. Now's the time. Things are, you know, I don't think things are getting better. I don't think things are trending in a good direction. It feels like we have some minor wins here and there, but things are not getting better. And, you know, I think Christianity is the best religion. Jesus says, I'm the only way to heaven. And it's a religion that's welcoming to everyone. Everyone is allowed to be a Christian. All you have to do is accept Jesus. It doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter race at all. It doesn't matter where you come from. Jesus is not American. He's not born in America. Christianity is not an American religion. I think so many people just think of, when they think of Christianity, they think of an old Southern preacher. Now, to me, that brings me comfort. But to other people, they're not into that. So, but that's not who it is. Christianity is not from the South. So, you know, and if you've had a bad experience with a church or a preacher in the past, I'm sorry. But don't reject the Bible because of that. You don't need a church. I'm into going back to a church. I want to go back to a church. So I'm not saying don't do it. But I'm saying you don't need it. There, you have no need for an intercessor in between you and God. Jesus is the intercessor for you that you can have direct communication with God. You don't need to go through a priest or a preacher or a rabbi or anything like that. So there's no one that can hold you down. Just go right to God. And I got an email from someone recently going through a divorce. Had to move back in with their mom, and he is, you know, feeling terrible. He feels like he's lost everything at, like, early 30s, you know. But I changed my entire life in my early 30s. In my early 30s, I quit drinking. I got closer to God. I read my Bible more. I started to become more in tune with God and more into doing some things that I had not been doing before, like not eating pork, not celebrating the pagan holidays. And my life drastically improved. I basically got my life all the way back down to, it was as if I lost everything. I gave up everything, but it was as if I lost everything. And I worked my way back up into a better place. And so don't let anybody hold you down out here. If you lose everything, don't get depressed. Just think of it as a reset and build yourself back up. Okay. I appreciate you guys for listening to this podcast. You guys are the best. I appreciate all the emails. I get very nice emails from people. I get way more positive emails than I get negative feedback. I know that I tend to focus on the negative feedback when I talk about things, but I just want you to know I get way more positive feedback, emails. As you can see, people have sent me things. You guys are very nice, and I'm very appreciative. And, the negative feedback is just, it's a conversation starter, but it is nothing else. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. We're having a good time. Thank you.